Thank you, choir. And I want to thank Elizabeth for that. Was an amazing prayer. And if you could send it to us, I'd like to put it on the website because it just is so where we're at today. And I really appreciate the work you put into that prayer. Well, it was about 6 years ago now. I was at an Alban Institute conference down in South Carolina, and I met a pastor from the suburbs of Chicago. Very bright, graduate of Yale Divinity School, very engaging, and we got talking about this phrase that seems to be increasingly common in our day, and that phrase is, well, I'm spiritual, but not religious. What does that mean? I mean, I hear a lot. Well, this pastor, Lillian Daniel, decided to write a book about it, and the title is When Spiritual But Not Religious Is Not Enough. It was published in 2013, and I just would tell you, I hope you run out and get a copy on eBay or wherever, because it's a great book, because it's so humorous, at the same time, it's insightful, and it's deep. It gets you thinking. And I want to start out this series with a rather long excerpt from her first chapter, and this is what she writes. She says, "A man recently told me something about his faith life as people are wont to do with ministers. He said, I'm spiritual but not religious, and I want to give you my testimony, if you will, about why I don't attend church. Now, can I just vent a minute?" Lillian writes. She said, "You know, when I meet a teacher, I don't feel the need to tell him that I always hated math. And when I meet a chef, I don't tell her that I can't cook, and when I meet a clown, I don't tell him that I think all clowns are kind of scary. I keep that stuff to myself. But everybody loves to tell the minister what's wrong with the church. And it's usually some church that bears no resemblance to the one that I'm proud to serve," she writes. "So I brace myself." Like so many Americans, he had made stops in the new American religious marketplace. He was raised in the Catholic faith, and he came to feel injured by that tradition, let down by it. So after college, he started attending a very conservative Baptist church, and he enjoyed that church because the people were wonderful. But after joining, he realized that the church held all these kind of very kind of strict and religious beliefs, like not dancing. He kind of thought, isn't dancing kind of biblical? And can't drink. That's a deal killer, isn't it? So he drifted away from the church. Well, later, after he married, he joined the church of his wife's upbringing, kind of a liberal Protestant church that he describes as being just like this warm hug. But the marriage ended, and now the church felt like his wife, so he found himself spending Sunday mornings sleeping in, reading the New York Times, or putting on his running shoes and taking off through the woods. This was his religion today, he explained. "I worship nature. I see myself in the trees and the butterflies. I am one with the great outdoors. I just find God there. And I find that I am deeply spiritual, but no longer religious." Daniels writes, this kind of well-meaning Sunday jogger fits right into mainstream American culture, and perhaps by now is the majority. All those people who have stepped away from church in favor of running and newspaper reading and Sunday yoga, whatever construct they put in place to have a more convenient religion of their own making. "I've heard it a million times before," she writes. "Let me guess. You read the New York Times every Sunday, cover to cover, and you find it to be more spiritual than the sermon. Let me guess. Where do you find God? Well, nature. In the trees. It's always the trees. Doing a long hike, a long run, a walk on the beach, and don't forget the sunset. These people always want to tell you that they find God in the sunset." Like people in church don't know that? Like, were these monkish people who never heard of the Old Testament Psalms that praise God for the beauty of the natural creation? Like, we never leave the church building? God is in nature? Really? It's all over the Bible that we read every Sunday, but these folks seem to think they invented it. But push a little harder. Push a little harder on this self-developed religion, and you don't get much. Not much depth. So you find God in the sunset. Well, great, so do I. But how about in the face of cancer? Cancer's nature too. You worship that as well? You see God in the faces of your children when they say loving things or something cute and winning about God, like, Mommy, I think God is kind of like the rainbow. Can you believe the wisdom of that? Says the proud, spiritual, but not religious parent who thinks their children are theological geniuses. But these kids, teaching their parents these homespun proverbs, are actually being poorly served. If they went to Sunday school, they could ask about cancer when a grandparent gets sick. They'd have a place, a spiritual home, a spiritual community in which they could go deeper. But their parents are so afraid that the church is a place where they will force you to accept their answers, they've set up a vacuum in which the answers get invented without any formation or guidance. When there are rainbows and happy kids, it all works. But it's not so successful in the face of temper tantrums and selfishness and, dare I say, sin. Because most self-developed Sunday morning rituals have little room for sin or disasters or suffering. And she describes that kind of spirituality as like a person who fills up on deep-fried appetizers and doesn't get anything else from the menu. That's great stuff, and I encourage you to read the book. But now for the next several weeks, I want to talk to you about this topic of spiritual but not religious, because that's where a lot of our neighbors and friends and colleagues live. The dictionary describes the word spiritual as something affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. The Greek word pneuma, which basically translates out to mean breath, as in the breath of God, as in the and that God breathed into the nostrils of human beings and gave us life. Breath represents life. Breath represents a spirit. The dictionary describes religion as being a belief in and the worship of a superhuman power, especially as it relates to a personal God. Now, maybe it's just me, but these two seem to have a significant connection, spiritual and religious. For to connect with the spirit that lives within us seems to require some connection with our Maker, not just something that we come up with all on our own. We live in a time where people are seeking to make sense of their worlds by grasping at these random ideas that they deem as spiritual. It's kind of like, I'm going to make a custom-made God. And this hodgepodge of ideas often leaves them with these vague notions that are far from the eternal truths that are contained in Scripture. Yet, these truths have the power to guide us and to connect us with our Creator. I think it comes down to this. Is there something beyond ourselves? Or is each individual the center of their own little universe, and that's all there is? It seems like what we see a lot of today is people who have this pull towards a God of their own making, a God who agrees with their views, a God who sees things exactly as they do, a God made in their own image rather than the other way around. But let me propose this. True spiritual depth is found in making that connection with our Maker, and then seeking to live in congruence with the way we were created, in harmony with creation. Theologian A.W. Tozer puts it this way. To most people, God is an inference, not a reality. He is a deduction from evidence which they consider adequate, but he remains personally unknown to the individual. He must be, they say, therefore we believe he is. Over against this cloudy vagueness stands the clear biblical understanding that God can be known in personal experience. Here is the disconnect, I believe. People see religion as man-made. They see it as a set of rules and rituals rather than seeing it as a way of connecting with the spirit that God lives within and moves and permeates all living things. And within the Christian tradition, we have this belief that Jesus is the personification of the God of all creation. And therefore, if we want to know and understand the ways of God, we need to look at how Jesus lived and what he taught and seek to understand and follow his ways. We seek to discover Christ's spirit that lives inside us, and we invite that spirit to change us, to mold us, so that our lives might be a reflection of him. Not that he blesses our ways, but that he changes ours. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus is making a promise here. He is saying that as we sincerely seek, God will meet us and reveal himself to us. But how do we go about seeking? Is God only revealed in the trees and in the rainbows? The beauty of creation certainly gives us a glimpse of God's awesomeness. But there's so much more. God is revealed through the great stories of Scripture and through the church with all its perfections. You know, people often confuse going to church with being the church. Church is not some thing that we just attend. Rather, it's being a part of a body that we believe God's Spirit is here and God is here when we are gathered. Now, I'm quick to encourage people, never confuse the church with your faith because you'll lose it. I mean, probably more than most people, I've experienced how the Big C church is fallible. And pastor's fallible, that's for sure. Always been that way. Always has been. I mean, read the epistles. It's always human trying to follow ways of God gets messy. But at the same time, I've seen the best of church. Seen it here. How God uses us as the body to transform people's lives. Connecting people with a living God. Growing people to become strong and spiritually mature, spiritual red oaks. I've seen churches do some horrendous things, and I totally understand how people get turned off to God when they see the imperfections of the church. But I want to say this, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Tim Boyd, I like the readings or the writings of Tim Boyd. He wrote this. So what do I mean by being spiritual? Let me begin with an example. In the human body, there are an estimated 75 to 100 trillion cells. I mean, that's an astounding number. It's beyond comprehension. It's larger than the number of galaxies in the universe. It's even larger than our national debt. And each of these 100 trillion cells that make up our body has needs and activities all on its own. These cells need nutrition. It looks to reproduce. It seeks an environment that is hospitable to its growth. If somehow these cells began to sense, though, there was part of something greater and felt this urgency to connect or consciously participate in the greater something, they would experience spiritual awareness. If the cells began to inquire into the workings of the greater something, this would be spiritual study. If the information that the cell acquired, it developed a discipline that enhanced its awareness of the greater whole, that would be spiritual practice. Boyd says, unity is the basis of spirituality. We, like the cells, live and move and have our being. Spirituality is not merely a balm for the individual soul or a feeling of peace and harmony, although those are byproducts. Spirituality exceeds the individual. We know, we live in a time where the individual is the king. I mean, everybody's marketing at us, everybody's trying to get us to do their thing, and it's all about us. Where we look for God that can cater to our ideas and our preferences and our needs. I mean, let's create a God in our image rather than the other way around. In other words, we so often get it backwards. Instead of seeking after God's ways, we kind of expect God to reinforce ours. New Testament book of Hebrews, we read this. Hold on firmly the hope we possess, because we can trust God will keep his promises. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you will see that day of the Lord is coming near. You know, while many today feel they can worship God in their own way, run in the woods, walk on the beach, marveling at the rainbows, we were really designed by our Creator to find ourselves within the context of the body, of the gathered community. Just as God designed our bodies with trillions of cells, we find meaning and purpose not as that individual cell, but as we live and move together in the body. Today, the popular thing may be seeking God in our own and we may think we don't need the body. But that's kind of like an individual cell saying, you know what, I'm fine on my own. Churches are messy. We don't always get it right. We're a human institution. But God did not design us to go it alone. Being both spiritual and religious, seeking to learn and practice our faith within the context of community gives us the ability to learn and grow and live out our lives in faith. Spirituality and religion are a team sport that together seek and find the ways of God. It's not all in the trees or in the rainbows, but it's in the community. And you know what? As we do life together, and as we move out of that isolation, God uses us in so many ways to make a difference, feeding the hungry, sheltering the poor, functioning together as a body. And I'm going to close with this. It's an illustration I know I've used here before, but to me, it's just a very visual image of kind of how I see the church. My Uncle Bob was a hero to me. He was our next door neighbor, engineer at GM, and they had a place up on Lake Michigan, and every year we'd go up, and I'd go out with my Uncle Bob, and we'd walk along the beach, and he would collect all of these stones. Now, these look like pretty common rocks. There's nothing special about them. And we'd take him back home, and he had this little tumbler. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but you put the rocks in the tumbler, and you put some sand and grit and water in it, and it rolls and rolls and rolls like months. And so we took those stones that we picked up on the beach, and one day Uncle Bob says, Mark, come on over. We went down to his basement, and we take the stones out of that tumbler, and it was all covered in grime, and he took a cloth and he wiped off the grime. And there are polished stones. And they're gorgeous. I still have some of them. And to me, that's kind of what happens in the body. You know, we all have our rough edges, and it's this rubbling and tumbling together with God's Spirit, kind of as the grit that polishes us to be what we can be. And so, you know, a lot of people think we can just find God in the rainbows and run in the beach, and I love to do those things. But I really think God works through us in our gathered life together, when we study the scriptures together, when we pray with each other, when we support and encourage each other, man, that's what it's all about. Let's keep working at it. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to let go of this idea that everything revolves around us. Help us to seek and grow in your ways and to find our place in the body. Continue to challenge us and grow us to spiritual maturity as we seek your ways, not ours. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.